You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
So great to have all of you with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Today, you know, there really is no NFL offseason for volunteering, and the Browns really have a tremendous, tremendous pulse on this because the Browns are asking the best fans in the NFL, that's you, Browns Nation, to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community here around Cleveland or wherever you may be situated. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. And to do that, make sure you get on the website, clevelandbrowns.com, to learn more.
Training camp coming just around the corner. The veterans are off right now. The rookies have the rookie symposium, don't they?
They do.
This week?
Yeah, they do.
And then they're off after that.
That's right.
And then it all comes back here. July 26th is the opening day of training camp. Big battle, Michael. And let's stay off the quarterback just for a second.
Okay.
What one are you looking at? What are you looking at?
Jimmy, we just kind of offensive line. Offensive line. Now, look, they've put Joel Bitonio in between Joe Thomas and Alex Mack on that left side. Mm-hmm. And again, Joel Bitonio is he's got a mean streak. He can be a mauler. He really, really loves to just level defensive linemen and linebackers. And he showed that in most emphatic way in college. I'm real excited about that. Jimmy, that right side of the offensive line. Now, you know, Johnny Greco was between Mack and Thomas last year.
Right.
And now is moving over to the right side between Mack and Mitchell Schwartz. And Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. I thought somewhat, and listen, I know Cameron Wake lit him up in the opener last year.
Yeah.
Mitch Schwartz I'm talking about.
Yep.
And that's where it all. But look, come on now, you could certainly back me. Cameron Wake lights up a lot of guys in the National Football League. Now Mitchell, but I didn't think that he was as awful as everybody was portraying him.
Right.
Listen, he had a pretty solid to real good rookie year.
Yes.
People forget that. And then last year, now I believe Jimmy, and I want your thoughts on this. I believe that, you know, Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner ask him to add to his responsibility a little bit because Sean Laval was a little bit weak at being able to pick up in that A and B pass protection. So they were and Schwartz got beat on the outside. I think Mitch Schwartz is going to be fine, and I get the sense that Andy Moeller, the offensive line coach, and Kyle Shanahan believe the same thing. You feel okay about Schwartz in this particular system?
Number one, he was hurt during training camp.
He was dinged a little bit.
He had a foot injury for the first couple of weeks. Okay,
Cameron White game.
Cameron White game. I mean, gosh, you're in there. I mean, if you're 100% healthy,
it's tough.
It's tough. Now you got a bad foot, and that's a problem. Now they didn't make a lot of the foot injury.
No.
Because he was going to play. But it was there, and it was a problem. And then he got better, and I think you're right. He smoothed it out because I think Norv Turner said to me one time in the middle of the year, for the first couple of weeks, we could not compete because we couldn't block anybody on the right side. Schwartz was hurt. The other guy couldn't block.
No.
So you're right about Laval. I mean, that was a problem. So everybody just teed off on them on the right side, and that was a problem. But I did think that he got fine. That he was fine as the year went on. And I don't think you left the stadium many days from the fourth week on and said,
no.
Boy, that guy at right tackle's killing.
No, there were some, you know, media members in town that went through the whole year.
Right.
But that's not factual. I believe, and I have to go look at this, but I believe in the last half of the last eight football games of the year, he was charged with giving up a sack and a half.
Now, remember how much they were throwing it.
Yeah. So I'm fine. I think Mitchell Schwartz is going to be fine. Now, there's a couple of intriguing guys, though, Jimmy, that we've had around here now for a couple of years. One is Chris Folk.
Yeah.
The big kid from LSU.
Now, Doug has always been enamored.
And I know Deke likes him.
Yeah, right. He always felt he was definitely a right tackle in the making.
That's right. Yeah. He's 6'6 and about 320 out of LSU now.
Right.
So, you know, he blocked it in Les Miles' system at an all-SEC level. We saw last year how, you know, Garrett Gilkey, another young man, likes to announce his presence.
Yeah.
He's the one that really got into the, you know, throwing haymakers with Big Phil Taylor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, during the minicamp.
During
right?
minicamp yeah. here a couple of weeks ago. Now, so Gilkey has, and that's why they wanted him out of Chadron State,
mm-hmm.
is because he showed that he's got some meanness and toughness to him. So, and then you have Paul McQuiston.
Yeah, who they brought here from Seattle.
Who was brought here from Seattle is correct.
Didn't he start like 14 games?
Yeah. And they say he's better, they believe, the Browns feel he's better inside at a guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
But he has played outside at tackle
right.
as well.
Yeah.
So there's depth in this offensive line. And then you have Jason Pinkston.
Yeah.
Who has started here. So not Jimmy, now we just did the five starters and we've named four. That's nine.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Parsons, the backup for Mac, kid out of right. USC, and yeah. I don't know. Martin Wallace was running number two, big
right.
kid out of Temple.
Right.
He was running number two behind Thomas at left tackle. So there you go. Now, then there is, I think there's depth here. You know, I don't expect anybody, I think at left to right, I think it's going Thomas, Batonio, Mac, Greco, and Schwartz. Now, if anybody could jump in, maybe it's McQuiston. Maybe it's Falk.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the depth on this.
Yeah.
And how many are they going to keep? Nine?
Well, you know, and you remember last year they had a devastating night in the preseason game against the Lions. They lost
Bad.
Everybody.
Bad.
You know, Pinkston went down.
Yep.
I think LaVau was
LaVau
down. LaVau
was already
down.
He was
down.
Already out.
Yeah, he had been hurt in a blocking. Remember, he had no preseason. LaVau didn't last year because he got lit up by Phil Taylor out here in a training camp practice. On a one-on-one practice.
Yes.
And so he had the high ankle. Pinkston was out, and they were in a lot of trouble at that point. And then Schwartz was nursing a bad foot.
Right.
So imagine going into the year with that. You know.
And they didn't like LaVau, let's be honest.
And they did not
so
like
now
LaVau,
you, you
right.
got things
yeah.
that are happening yeah. here. And the offensive line was kind of just a state of flux.
Yeah. So it's
all
going.
It,
and if you're going to do what we've said they're going to want to do and run the ball, you got to have.
Here's
it's
the thing.
Be good.
I ask you, in Shanahan's system, how many of these guys do you think some of them will thrive?
Well, I think Alex Mack could end up being really regarded as the best center in the NFL. He's got an opportunity in this offense that's going to fit him well.
Because that's his game anyway.
Yeah, that's his game.
Getting
exactly.
to the second level.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that Alex Mack has a great opportunity. I think it was one of the selling points to make him comfortable during that period of transitional tag days.
That's a great point.
I really do.
I think
they went, remember they went and they visited with him, he wanted to
know. Because I don't think he was locked down 100% that he wanted to come back here.
True. Yeah, because the winning aspect and the lack of it wears everybody
right.
down, and
yes.
certainly him. Okay, so I really do, Michael, think that that was a big selling point to him. Hey, listen, we're going to play to your strength.
Yep.
You're
going
to be paid like the best center in the NFL, but I think you're going to be regarded mm-hmm. as the best center in the NFL, too. Mm-hmm. You have a great opportunity with this team to do what we think you're yeah. carved out to do.
Yeah, and I've always felt, Jimmy, to be totally honest with you, I've always felt I wanted the Browns' offensive line to take on a little bit more of
right.
a, let's be maulers, you know?
Yeah.
And I know Deke, I've said that to Deke a few times. He said, well, now, wait a minute. Of course, he's an offensive lineman. I've just felt they were maybe a little bit too finessey at times.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with you.
And then when it came down to, you know, let's stand up and be a powerful unit, you know, it just
yeah.
isn't there.
Right.
But this is going, when you talk about, okay, we're going to run the foot. Well, what does that connotate?
Yeah. We're going to run the ball. We're going to count on that offensive line.
They've got to be dominant.
They've
got to be one of the most dominant units of your football team.
And it will be interesting on opening day, Michael, over at Heinz Field. That
yeah.
will be the first
yeah.
day that we see if they can be
there you
dominant.
Go. Because, right out of the chute.
Yeah, because right out of the chute, you're going to be able there. If you're going to be what you want to be and run the ball, now can you run it over there? Can you do it over there and grind a win out over there? Boy, that would really put some wind in your sails. All right, that's hour number one. We're back with hour number two here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jim Donovan, Michael Reguy, in for Vic and Nathan. We're back with more with you right after this.